This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Through the now common split-screen video conferencing app Zoom, lawyers presented opening arguments before a federal judge today in one of the state's biggest healthcare cases, a challenge to the current practice of holding psychiatric patients inside hospital emergency rooms. NHPR's health reporter Jason Moon was listening in on the call, and he joins me by Skype. Jason, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Glad to be here, Peter.
So remind me, what's being argued here?
So this case, it's all about the rights of people who are involuntarily committed for psychiatric treatment. So these are people who are believed to be a danger to themselves or others because of a psychiatric condition. Often these people are brought to an emergency room where a doctor will make that determination whether or not they need to be involuntarily committed. And the way it is supposed to work in state law is that once someone is deemed by a doctor that they need to be basically forced to receive psychiatric treatment, if they want to contest that, they're supposed to get a hearing before a judge within 3 days. The problem has been for about the last 7 or 8 years, and this is really the heart of the lawsuit, the problem is that there haven't been enough beds available for people in this position to receive psychiatric treatment. And the way the state's system has been set up is that those probable cause hearings where someone could argue their side of the case aren't happening until they get transferred to a facility. But because there's a wait list, they're not getting transferred to a facility. And what's happening instead is that people are basically stuck at the emergency room. They can't leave. And they can't get a hearing. And in some cases, it's been up to, you know, multiple weeks that people have been stuck in that situation. So the ACLU brought a lawsuit that says those people should be getting probable cause hearings, even if they're just at the emergency room and not at the state psychiatric hospital. And that ultimately brought in the hospitals, intervened in the case, and they're also party to it. And that sort of brought us to where we are today.
And where we are today also involves this remote way of working. We're all getting used to it, or at least trying to. What was it like to see a court proceeding handled this way?
Yeah, it was a bit of an unusual scene for a federal court case to be argued via Zoom. But it is a brave new world that we're all entering, including the court system. People treated it, you know, as much as an official proceeding as they could. People were still dressed for court. The judge wore his robes. He just happened to be, you know, zooming in from what appeared to be a bedroom. So it was a bit of an unusual setting, but the arguments were, I believe, the same as they would have been if we were all there in person.
And what were those arguments? What happened in virtual court today?
So today was a hearing on the state's motion to dismiss the case. And the state's position in this case is that all of the action that is being talked about by the plaintiffs is not actually the state's action. The state says that the hospitals are detaining these people on their own and that those patients aren't actually within the state's mental health care system until they get transferred to the state psychiatric hospital. So until they get off that wait list and into the state psychiatric hospital, that's when the state says the 3-day clock for that hearing begins ticking. And everything before that is basically just between the hospital and those people. And really, they have nothing to do with it. That is sort of the state's position in the case. I will say that was not going over particularly well with the judge. He said that the attorney for the state was really straining interpretation of the statutes to make that argument. And at times, he seemed to be sort of openly agreeing with the plaintiffs. Position in the case. So it didn't seem like a particularly good day for the state's attorneys on that case. But of course, we'll have to wait for a ruling to see what he actually thinks.
Jason, you've reported that the number of people waiting in emergency rooms for psychiatric care has been as high as 70. How many people are in that situation right now?
Yeah, that's a really interesting development right in the midst of when this case is coming to trial. We just learned from the National Alliance on Mental Illness from the New Hampshire chapter that the wait list apparently hit zero last week for the first time in 8 years, according to them. And that is, it seems to be because the state moved some youth patients out of New Hampshire Hospital to a separate facility to free up beds for adult patients in this situation. And that appears to have been enough to almost completely to eliminate the wait list. It's unclear whether, you know, the coronavirus pandemic might also be playing a factor in whether fewer people are, you know, being driven to emergency rooms in psychiatric crisis. It's hard to know, but it just is worth mentioning that as a sort of milestone in this long going, you know, mental health crisis in the state, where for the first time in 8 years, there was a brief moment last week anyways, when no one was waiting for psychiatric care.
And so what's next for this case?
Well, next we'll wait for a ruling from the federal judge. There was also the possibility raised of sending some questions about state law to the state Supreme Court to have them weigh in on sort of some specific interpretations of state statute. It's unclear whether or not that's going to happen, though. So in the meantime, we just have to sit tight and wait for a ruling from the federal judge.
And HPR's Jason Moon, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks, Peter.
And you can read all of our past coverage of emergency room boarding at our website, nhpr.org.